Praises Lounge. Praises and Radio Zona.
Okay, everyone, we are gathering here at the Currency of the Commons workstation for our daily Observer Talk. And first of all, thanks Jody and your entire Traces team for hosting us in your lovely tea lounge. And I think that's a perfect place to be tonight. And our daily observer of today is Tapio Mäkelä from Finland. Tapio is a media artist and theorist based in Manchester and also in Helsinki. And Tapio, you have been around the whole day hanging around the open zone, but also I guess you watched some of the conference talks. And yeah, we are just curious to hear what your impressions of your Transmediale day has been, and yeah, I pass the mic on to you. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Ella. Indeed, so I'm both a media artist and a researcher, and I kind of shift these hats on different day, and I guess today my role is more like a commentator. I think observer is an overstatement because I haven't been too much lurking around and observing. More like participating and enjoying the day actually quite a lot. I mean, there's been really interesting discussions and some workshops. There's so much actually happening here that it would take four of me to be able to report in any comprehensive way what's been going on. So instead, I just picked up on a couple of points that I thought were really interesting and which might be relevant for later discussion. I'm taking part to a panel tomorrow also, which is sort of the democracy and responsibility. And that's 3 o'clock till 5 in K1. And that'll be related also to some of these themes. My last talk I gave in Brazil, it was a time when there was a game between Brazil and Argentina on. And it was a good audience, so I'm really happy that we have a good amount of people here as well, even though it's the evening and the party is already on. So I'm going to be talking about some ideas that I got from the first session today, and I just heard from a coffee discussion in the bar that also the last session in the conference dealt with sort of identity and politics and how to deal with online practices and embodiments. So some of this will be perhaps brushing on events that I didn't participate in. But in this first session called Social ID, hosted by Alessandro Ludovico, there was one interesting announcement by Salvatore Lacognesi saying that identity is a media now. So there were projects presented that were kind of net art projects, but or one could even say Facebook projects, because two of the projects dealt with Facebook. And Derek de Kerkhove argued that the subject is now displaced to the network. So he was saying that whereas in the Western tradition, first you thought that the self resides in your heart, then in your brains, and then he argued that now identity, the subject is sort of displaced elsewhere, so referring to the networks. This is not exactly what he said, but this, and one of my questions that arises from here is that why would we argue that? I mean, this is the thing that was argued in the 90s. I'm coming back to that later. So where is the subject identity situated now? Why would this argument be different now since the early 90s? And how much things like Facebook are about face or interface? And how much more could we maybe, instead of the looking at things on the web visually, to think about relations, templates, like Facebook is basically a template in a way, and communicative acts of performance that, you know, not only that artists do, but what our everyday actions online comprise of. So these kind of notions led me to ask several questions. So firstly, why do new media genres generate these theories of radical shifts in perception of the self and self-perception? So with Sherry Turkle, that was referred to in the first session, in the 90s, she claimed that if you have different chat windows open on your screen, and you kind of swap your identity like a jacket. And you could, you know, swap gender as easily as a jacket. And this has been thoroughly criticized, especially by feminist media studies scholars, and for good reasons. There was also a notion that the internet is in a way as if a space, like American rhetoric, cyberspace. I was never able to use that term because it is not a space. There are spatial qualities to how we address it, but it is definitely not a space. So that raises a lot of questions about politics of embodiment, etc. So now in this morning's sessions, explicitly by Kerkhove, but also by others, one could sense that this question is reiterated now with social media, as if the fact that you make a profile online would kind of displace your identity. So it's basically the Shelley Turkle argument revisited. So representing the self as images and narratives, this is still a practice that we do. You know, back in the day, you could make your homepage and make a cat GIF animation, and that was kind of like one way of showing what you can do, how you can perform with code as a hobbyist. But later, as sort of the amateur coder has sort of disappeared, more so now the same kind of representation of self happen on far more powerful platforms where you can express visually and share things. So the older paradigm of like images and narratives still goes on, but now the self is sort of a dynamic sketch. It's not really a representation. It doesn't stay still. For a moment, you can look at it as such, but this sketch of self as metadata consists of tags, relations you make, and different associations. Actually, this scholar called Vannevar Bush, who talked about the memex machine before any hypermedia existed, was really talking about like the future computer as a kind of a machine of associations. And really what really has evolved over the 10 years, so what was different in the early web 90s is that the web was in a way seen as a page, mm-hmm. as a visual thing. Hypertext was here and there, you could click on X, Y, and Z, but now with the very complex databases relating different things, it has really become a machine of associations. And I think this is indeed radical about what it means of how we can perform online and also, of course, what kind of art can be related to. So how does this position identity politics online? So each interaction with a communication or publishing platform, often they are kind of mixtures, and of course with other people via these platforms, this is a kind of series of performative acts, and they allow, I guess, what in the 90s was called identity work, but I think it's often identity play as well. So, but anyway, construction identities happens partly in these online performative acts. And I'd like to underline that what is stored in your profile is just only one component of this identity data. So if you look at these profiles, they have, I'd say, a smaller percentage of how you represent yourself or perform yourself online. So the kind of flow of things that you do and communicate is often not visible at one instance. And I underline also the use of identity data. Your identity is never online. But often so, people today also said that, in a way, your identity is there. So I thought about how to talk about that thing out there, and I'm pretty often finding the notion of avatar quite flawed because it easily displaces identity as a kind of a performance and disregards embodiment. So perhaps we could think about these performative acts, but also that what we publish and leave online and the traces of your performances as identity objects. It's better to say identity objects rather than object identity, which is a programming term. We're not going to go in there right now. So, identity objects, stuff that you left online, they continue kind of working or playing for you even when you log off, because other people follow them or interact with them and react to them, or you think about what you just did. So basically, that kind of a memex thing exists out there. However, they do not think nor feel anything. So basically, your subjectivity is not placed elsewhere. It's always with you because only you can think, only you can feel, as well as other people. Still, the objects are not, in a way, dead. You could say that they are affective objects whenever they are touched or worked upon by yourself or by other people. So there is kind of like a displacement of affect, or like Sara Ahmed would say, it is being circulated in these everyday surroundings online. And this is not a positive thing or a negative thing. It can be about hate, love, various things. So going to another session today, which linked beautifully with these sketches I was writing during the day. And this is more about now linking this discussion back into net art and politics. And this was a session with Lilian Invisibles and, should really say it in French, or Italian, sorry, and Franco Berardi. Franco talked about the politics of their work in relation to juxtaposition, irony, and cynicism. Saying that, in a way, cynicism, in a way, doesn't really see change as possible, but irony never believed in big thoughts or absolute truths, but allows you to make multiple interpretations of democracy, for example. Even though he said also democracy is, using Baudrillard's term, it is a simulacra. Nobody really believes it has an ideal. So, and he also referred to the seduction by objects that, according to Baudrillard, is part of this construction of the simulacra. So I went back, because I haven't read Baudrillard in ages, for good reasons. But actually, I have to now, because elsewhere I'm writing quite a bit about the sort of object-orientedness as a way to think about, well, it's well used in actor network theory. But anyway, so Baudrillard talks about these objects as functional, having functional value, exchange value, symbolic, and sign value. So at the end, referent is lost in this process, for example, in relation to politics. So from this, one could say that how net art relates, for example, to politics or democracy, does it simulate it? Is it simulated political action? Because often people juxtapose actions online and actions in street space. And I think that's besides the point. It is not about that, but it is, in a way, how you make those references, how you enable opening up things for interpretation. So irony as a caricature of those in power, like with the Yes Men, that action happens both online but also in physical space. So, and they perhaps reveal power relations rather than actually look at the image of things. So they actually may dig into relations, how people relate with, let's say, the GATT.org online, the World Trade Organization former website. So net art can be about performing within everyday media practices. So, you know, very casual little actions and gestures that happen within the seams of the everyday. Now, if you argue that that's not political, then you're kind of saying that everyday lives are not political. And the fact that it's online doesn't make it less political than if you do it around a coffee table. So again, I think there's an interesting way of sort of deconstructing these offline and online oppositions. Then maybe there are works that create sort of disbelief into something that is given as credible online. And this is where some of the projects shown in many sessions today fell into that category. And then there are projects like by Jody that really reduce the functionality and exchange value of net objects or the computer in general. But then there's also a lot of things, and this is where I'm going to an area that where I know many people here would like to kill me for. But I find often a lot of software art and actually a lot of sort of formalist media art make a very comfortable commentary on technology and creating, in a way, a non-critical loop of reference that it sort of references code and machinery, but actually is very far from dealing with politics of identity. So I think this is the sort of a tricky area within the domain of media art and net art, that if you become self-referential within the code, that's where the sort of politics of that start to diffuse. It doesn't mean that it is not an interesting practice, but it is far from being political in the sense of politics of everyday lives of most people. And of course, there are political questions within code, so yeah. But, you know. So, another narrative. So, one thing that I've been wondering, so in the late 90s, is like, whatever happened to net art? There was, with the dot-com crash, also it seemed that net artists vanished. A lot of places didn't talk about it. Now it's sort of coming back. And many people who were doing net art said, oh, this is so yesterday, we're now making software art. So actually they did this sort of, not everybody, but quite a few people did like a reduction to minimalist aesthetics and formalism into the software and out from the public. So what happened during those years was that since the early net art days, that the net was seen as an exciting frontier, to use a very bad spatial American neoliberal term. And then when it became widely populated, many net artists left the scene. So then this kind of raises several issues. So why is it that now this populated internet is becoming again addressed by media artists? I find that as a very, very positive thing as such. And then how do we value the sort of embodiment of this politics? Do these projects need to come to the streets, make border crossings of not only online, offline, but, you know, like Heath Bunting, he does actual border crossings and deals still with data structures in a political way without being formalist only. And is there a need to sort of re-exit the gallery again? Because I think a lot of media art has become so visual artified that some of the sort of operations that have been done a lot outside of the visual arts scene have, maybe because of financial reasons, become far less. So that maybe there's a need for a sort of re-radicalization. And I don't think it really happens through soldering. We'll talk about tomorrow this sort of DIY in politics. Soldering and DIY is great, but it might not be the way to radicalize our practices. And then it's a question of pedestrian tactics, you know. So can one use this metaphor, which is kind of like Michel de Certeau's metaphor about pedestrian tactics, that kind of deal with that? It's maybe an argument just to say that everyday actions in your own neighborhoods can really be considered political, whether they happen online or offline. And I was really motivated today by many works that, in a way, showed that this kind of tactility with politics and work is very present here today. So this was my sort of a brief thing that I wrote today, and I was hoping that Heath Bunting would have been here, but he had a very long day working. So I would have urged Heath to come up to the stage so we could have sort of talked. So we would have talked a little bit about sort of mid-90s net art political discussions and contemporary. But we can do that, and if anybody would like to now just jump on, take the mic and continue, because like this was a partial view into an angle.
Thanks so much.
And anybody needs to have the mic very close, because otherwise nobody can hear a thing. Any ideas, notions that came up for us? Shall we all go for a drink now?
Tapio, thanks so much for this excellent summary of your festival day. I would be curious to hear from you, in what ways do you see all those things that you encountered today connected to our festival topic, responsibility?
Ha ha. I kind of on purpose left that out because it's a pretty a big topic. In last Transmediale, in the long conversation, I talked about responsibility, the way which Donna Haraway phrases it, more in between the relationship of the human self and non-human species. And it's basic, and there's a way to connect it with here, because their responsibility is in a way giving agency to the non-human to respond, or at least kind of put that into your thinking. How could the other respond? So I guess if I would take then this concept of an identity object, then it's maybe kind of decision, how can you design your projects in such ways that they encourage response-able action. So it's like not only the classic open work, but maybe the kind of work that encourages to action or critical action more so than just any open work. That's a very short reaction to that, but one reason I didn't want to go this area because I think the responsibility from that angle is so different from the general responsibility here. One of the things I was also thinking about, like, for example, different works in the exhibition, how they operate within our context here, within different references of our various backgrounds, which are far from being similar, but still there's enough shared discourses that we read these works. But when you take the projects, do take them out to the streets, or not these scenes, what happens to the politics then? So I guess flexibility in designing for different audiences is one of the things that I often think about in how marginal, in the sense of the political strategies or tactics are. Also in last year's discussion, like the Yes Menish or the New York Times spoof project, they were slacked by German, because saying like, where are the real politics, you know? And I find that the sort of often politics are designed are defined in a far too traditional means, again in some critical circles here too. So I think this, I'm all for populism when it's done in a critical way, and I find this maybe one area just to think that if you recontextualize the work out from our context, what happens? How response able are they then? That's one thinking about that. Very difficult thing to deal with this hour. Sorry, I'm losing it.
Thanks so much, Tapio. And
Praises and Radio Tsona.
From Tuesday 1st to Sunday 6th, February 2011.
Praises and Radio Tsona. Traces Lounge.